Bellows Collective, and I am your host, Logar the Barbarian. And today I have two guests with me, Evelyn Moreau and Sophia Ramos. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, almost.
Okay. Evelyn is an illustrator and designer, I believe, even on the project we're talking about. And Sophia is the writer. And the project that you all have going on that's being kickstarted currently is called Goblin Mail.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
So could you tell the listeners about Goblin Mail? What should they expect from that?
Well, it's super easy. It's about goblins in the Troika universe, and they are using their labyrinth that connect the different spheres to ship mail and packages through the multiverse. And so they're running like a post office. And because they're goblins, you know, it's going to be very chaotic.
It doesn't work properly because the goblins, of course. So
we're playing the goblins delivering the mail? Is that what's going on here?
No, in the adventure, you are like hired by a patron, right? Mm-hmm. To try and recover a package in the postal office run by the goblins.
Oh, that can be a difficult task. I know I worked at UPS for a while, loading trucks, and then they do like the driver helper thing. I got a glimpse of that over the holiday season delivering packages. I ended up it's intense doing the deliveries.
Yeah, well, actually, the adventure is inspired by a real life. It was me sending a package to Sophia from Canada to Brazil, and it took the package 3 months to arrive.
Oh my goodness.
So we were like joking that goblins were making the deliveries.
So that's where the entire adventure idea sprung from, was that incident.
Yeah, it's based on the real life events.
And what are we going to be actually doing in the adventure itself? Like, what can folks expect there, besides, of course, delivering the mail?
Well, the post office is like a small dungeon, mm-hmm. but like there's a few stories there and things. Like the character will have to move like through different rooms looking for the package, and they will encounter all kind of weird employees and other creature that decided to live in the post office.
Oh my goodness, what kind of creature lives in the post office?
Oh, you'll be surprised.
Well, could you elaborate?
Well, see, the post office, they deliver to every kind of place, so they get stuff from every kind of place as well. So, you know.
So you never know what's in those packages.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's random table to generate all kind of weird packages with strange properties. And there's also another thing is that the goblins do competition with each other. So sometimes goblins from another post office would try to raid the post office to steal the packages to deliver them themselves.
I don't see happening a lot around here. I don't see anybody trying to jump on someone else's delivery route and take it to deliver it for them. Sure, few people wouldn't complain. Just saying.
I mean, goblins take their delivery very seriously, I think.
So I'm curious to know, like Evelyn, you did the art on this, and Sophia, you did the writing. How does that look like to y'all when you're collaborating to put something like this together, both of you? Like what does the process look like there?
I did most of the writing, I would say, but Ev worked with me in the writing part. She also wrote like a lot of the parts, so we are like constantly working together on this.
Yeah, like we did a Google Doc together to structure the adventure, and like we wrote together the skeleton where I contributed to the design. But after that, Sophia rewrote everything to make it more interesting to read. And
coherent, yeah. or just how looking at, I guess you probably be looking at things like editing and whatnot, trying to make it a little peppier, make it a little more clear on what's going on. Essentially, is that what am I correct in that? Or
yes, so Sophia do the writing and stuff, and me in the meanwhile I was drawing illustration for the different characters and goblins.
Yeah, and fun fact, this was a pamphlet adventure before, at the very start. So it's supposed to be a pamphlet.
How much has it grown beyond the pamphlet? How big are we looking at this point?
We are looking at 30 to 40 pages.
Okay. That's a pretty decent sized zine there, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we kind of work with the add one more detail technique, like you go around for each room, you add a few more detail, and so you keep accumulating detail. And we also started writing random tables, so that also did create a bunch of extra content for it, and now it's closer to 30, 40 page.
And to be honest, like, if Ev hadn't like stopped me, I would be writing for it now, like at this very moment. So
there's always more to go.
There's always more to write.
Yeah. At the beginning of the project, I was trying to keep Sophia to prevent her from writing much more. But at some point, I was like, okay, I think we need to accept that we are creating a zine now, that we can go beyond the minimal entries.
So when it comes to that, like, where do you know the point to stop and it's time for print? And what do you, because there's always going to be, I'm assuming there's always more that you can add to it. That's something I've run into. It's like, oh, there's so much more I need to expand on here. Where would you say you know when it's time just to call it quit, say it's done?
Yeah, that's not easy to determine. Like I feel like once we feel that everything is playable, mm-hmm. like, it's time to try to stop to add more things. But I have a bunch of experience with projects, so I know how it goes. So at some point, I'm able to try to say, okay, no, we need to keep that the way it is, because if we go, we'll add more and more stuff. Yeah.
yeah. Like F is pretty good at this, but like for me, I'm very good at starting projects, but I'm terrible at finishing them. So this was all her, I think, like to know when to stop, to know when we had a concept that was like strong enough for us to like stop adding things.
And so are you still writing, or is there like, oh, we're still getting some more stuff in there for the final, or is it all done now? Is it ready to go?
I'm working on some additional things for one of the tiers of the backer tiers, mm-hmm. but the main text is all done.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have on the team, we have Lunap, who is going to make the layout. So she started working on the layout using the text that is already finished.
Excellent. Now, you both have experience in creating other previous things. Evelyn, I know you've done art for quite a few various publications that I have to begin with. I'm curious if you could give us all kind of like an idea of where you're coming from, like, I guess, like game career wise, and how you got into this stuff and what you've been doing up to this point with your creations, what all folks can find out there.
Yeah, I started with, posting on blogs back in the days, posting content, and eventually I've moved to Zine. I kept doing it, so now I'm doing like a bit bigger project. I'm working for other people that became publishers, mm-hmm. and my background is from doing comic books a long time ago. But eventually, I moved to role-playing game because I think it's more interactive with the public, and there's a lot of fun there.
Sophia?
Let's see. I have always been a writer. I have always loved writing and games. And everything related to that. And I think my first experience with that kind of like design thing is when I stumbled with this little design called The Broken System.
The Broken System?
Yeah, Broken System is the name of it. It's a Pay What You Want, the design by Luke Gearing.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at it, it's very college and like very raw stuff, you know? And yes. I read it and I saw the college and I thought, I can do that. I have done stuff like that before. Should I publish the stuff I have written, you know? And then that's what really got me started in this, I think.
You've got a few other things out on Itch as well, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us about some of the stuff you've done there? What sort of things you tend to, like, this is for Troika. Have you written other things for other systems, other games, or?
Yeah. So the first, I have like, the first one is like, just a little game on my own. I wrote for a jam. Mm-hmm. I have Abyss Below, which is, like a zine for Troika. We have some backgrounds, have, a merchant. We have a curse table. I haven't taken a look at it in a while, but I think that's it. I also have a Barons of the Blood District, which is something I wrote, like a supplement I wrote for a Brazilian game, which is Vampires and Claymores. Free game, by the way. Pretty good game. Very rules light.
Vampires and Claymores?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a Brazilian game about, you know, vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And I have also worked with Ev and other folks on like some small dungeons and everything. I really like the Feast for Sphinx, which is a dungeon for Morphborg we have worked on recently, I think.
The previous project we've worked together was a small dungeon for Morphborg called A Feast for Sphinx, which we are reimagining the Sphinx monsters in a different way.
I'm curious to know more about that. How did you reimagine the Sphinx? What's new and different about it?
Well, the things that Sphinx only is able to talk or have like a consciousness that is not like a beast when it eats somebody. Like if it eats a human, it's able to talk with the voice of the person they've eaten and is also able to have like human thoughts and intellect and not react on a base only on instinct. So it's a lot of thing about like needing to feed the Sphinx to be able to collaborate with it. And yeah, there's a interesting choice to be made.
I would say that it kind of gives a new meaning to that. You are what you eat type of saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Was Rogue, could take folks' powers kind of along that line, since you can consume the human, gain the speech and the rationalism of a human being, I guess. I like that. It's interesting. That can lead to some fun places there.
And yeah. The whole point of the dungeon is that there is a dead god in the dungeon, and the Sphinx wants to eat that, and we don't know why or what will happen.
So I guess that leads to the question, then, what exactly is a god, and what will happen if the Sphinx consumes the god? The god being dead, will it consume the god's powers and have them still, or how does that work?
Well, the Sphinx is promising to fulfill wishes for the characters. And so, like, by consuming the dead god, it will be able to grant wishes to the character. But it's implied that maybe the Sphinx will also have, like, other motive for doing that. But
oh, my. There's layers to it, eh?
Yeah. Oh.
So y'all are into writing games. I'm assuming y'all are into playing them as well. Is there stuff that y'all are more into than others? And how? I'm curious, both of you, maybe, I think I may have asked you this before, Evelyn, I'm not sure, but how did you get into games and make that leap from I'm going to play games to I'm going to make games?
I think it's a natural shift from doing prep for your campaign to seeing other people publish design, and so you're like, oh well, I could publish my prep, but after a while you make it more elaborate and you come up with concept and it become more structured and a more also in a way that other people can use it in a better way. And yeah, so I usually when I craft design, I try to craft something that I also want to play and use.
Sophia?
I agree with Ev. It's like very natural. I'm mostly like a GM, a narrator, and I have played games since I can remember, mostly. And I have always done a lot of prep, like an unnecessary amount of prep. So,
what does that prep normally look like for you for a game? Even removing this element of making a game and publishing, what does your prep process normally look like in preparing to DM?
A lot of scribbles. I like to write on paper mostly. So I prep a lot for like every game, every campaign, because I don't know. Like, I guess I like to prep as much as I like the game. I can say that.
Well, for me, it's the opposite effect. Since I've started doing design and publishing, I don't have the time to do preps anymore because I'm always working. So now I do mostly zero prep GMing with a lot of improvisation.
So what are you running that way? What games are you currently? What have you been running lately? Or
I'm currently running a playtesting campaign for a hack of Liminal Horror, the game. So it's called Liminal High. It's like a high school investigation in the world of spooky stuff and horrors. And so I'm mostly using like relationship map between the characters and different location of the cities and like and so like. Each episode is very like improvised with, and also wrote a lot of random table to help with that. We're having a lot of fun, but I'm moving toward a conclusion of like the first season of the campaign.
Nice. How long has that been going on for a bit or?
I think maybe we've done like 12 session of that now, game.
And you did do, if I'm remembering correctly, is this, you had put something out for Liminal Horror that was specifically for playing high school kids. Is that what you're referring to? Because didn't you publish something like that a few, little bit ago?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to do like extra content for it to do a print run because I would love it to be like a small book. And so I'm adding like stuff to generate a small town, to generate the town mystery, and how to paste it and handle it.
I'm curious if there's any specific like influences or anything that's kind of like that you're drawing from and looking at that, or anything we might think of like, oh, to compare to like I know a lot of times like they say with the original D&D stuff, they have like the Appendix N as their foundation for the stories you're telling. Is there anything along those lines?
Yeah, I have a lot of like high schooler shows like Riverdale, and also inspiration from Silent Hill and like the video game Life is Strange. Also and naturally Stranger Things too a bit.
I do like the Stranger Things. That is fun. I appreciate it. They get me extra there because, you know, I was like their age at that time. And it's like, oh, they hit you at the nostalgia thing real hard. Like, oh, yeah, they got me. They got me. That's definitely there. Sophia, how about you? What have you been running here lately that you could?
Oh, I am always running a lot of things. Right now, I'm running a few Troika campaigns, specifically Academies of the Arcane. I've been running a Monster Hearts campaign. We have our like Stars Without Number campaign, which is like we have been running it for like almost 6 years now.
Oh, really? For Stars Without Numbers? Now, I am curious about that because I've got the Cities Without Numbers and the Stars Without Numbers, and I just backed the Smithsonian Worlds Without Numbers. I haven't picked up a copy of that yet. I'm real excited about that, and that's something I've had all kinds of ideas for campaigns for. I'm really curious about your Stars Without Numbers campaign.
Yeah, like I think like the Crawford, like the books are like amazing toolkits for sandbox campaigns. Mm-hmm. And for me, sandbox campaigns are my favorite type of campaign to run. I run almost everything like in the sandbox way. So like it's very character driven and everything. And at this point we have a bunch of like recurring characters, and we have this like villain that has been there since year one and no one can stand him anymore. And
that's the great kind of stuff to have in a game. I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Kickstarter of Goblin Mail is currently funding until when? When is that?
Before the end of, 5 days after the end of the month, I think.
Mm-hmm. So like December 4th or 5th or so it runs until. And now there's usually like what are we looking at here for, if we're going to back it, what are the options there? There's usually tiers in these Kickstarters. What can people look at backing for, and what can they expect for the different tiers?
So we did like a PDF only like a digital tier, and but people if they want, they can also just back at a lower tier like for Canadian dollars to just receive like the the plain text if they just want to read it, and but if they want the doc with the art, with everything, it's at $10 Canadian, and we also naturally have a print run, like it's twice the price. And I did like a special tier for people that want to get some of my original artwork, but I had to limit that naturally because I have a limited amount of art I can do like that for other people. But yeah, and we also did a tier for extra content, like the leftover content that Sophia is working on.
Oh, nice, nice. Now, both of you, we're coming to close to time, but could both of you tell folks where they can find you online, where they can find some of your previous works, maybe what they what you might suggest they pick up now on top of backing this, and where they would be able to find that and find you online?
Yeah, you go ahead, Sophia.
No, I also wanted to ask you, want to go ahead first.
Okay. So, you can follow me mainly on Blue Sky now and on my Patreon if you search Evelyn Moreau. And I think that previous work, Feast for Sphinx, from me and Sophia is fun. I have also a very fun Halloween team adventure that you can find on Itch. And for a shout out, there is my friend Martin, who is running a Kickstarter for his first crime fighting luchadors adventure. Oh, yes. Which is really fun, and she'll receive a bit of love.
Well, I need to try to get him on here again to talk about some of that. He's been on here before. I need to get in contact.
Great.
Sophia?
Yes, I am. Well, since Twitter has kind of died, I am a bit everywhere,
mm-hmm.
like a bit scattered, but you can find me on Mastodon, Dice Camp. You can find me on Blue Sky, and you can still find me on Twitter, even though I shouldn't be there. everywhere, my username is Ojesophia, that is Hoje, Sophia. And of course, you have my HIO. Where I post my smaller projects and my games.
Excellent. And now, you to the listeners, if you check the Hobos Collective site, we'll have a post there when this comes out with links to every place. So you can go check that out. I'll put some links to some of their previous works and to the current Kickstarter, so you can check that out and back that there. I want to thank you all for coming on. It's been good getting to talk for a moment. It's been nice. Thank you very much.
Thanks. It's always
having
fun.
Me.
No doubt. If you've enjoyed what you've heard here today, give us a positive review wherever you're listening. You can find us, hoboscollective.com is our site. I'm on various social media at this point, at Logar Hale Crom. And as always, keep those dice rolling.